cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man. I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world. I make my own rules because it's much easier that way. Trust me.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we are here on Ad Free Shows for a bonus edition of the Snake Pit. It's our April bonus, and of course, I'm here with the master of the DDT, the pop culture icon, Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, we're back on Ad Free Shows.
Man, just glad to be here. I can't believe I've got this last call tour put together. We're going to be going all sorts of places.
Yeah, Jake, in case they might have missed it on our recent episode where we discussed it, would you mind listing all the cities that you're going to be in?
April 30th, I'll be at the Hard Rock in Pittsburgh. May 5th, I'll be at the Kowloon in Saugus, Massachusetts. May 6th, I'll be doing a thing at the Zombie Hideout. It's just a signing, so there'll be no comedy there other than just watching me screw things up. May 7th, I'll be in Hartford, Connecticut, Funny Bone. And May 13th, I'll be at Bonkers in Orlando.
Man, fantastic. And as I mentioned on the podcast, our recent episode of Ask Jake Anything, it is can't miss whenever Jake does one of these live shows. His comedy tour is a blast. You get a little bit of everything, some serious stuff, some comedy, some stories you won't hear anywhere else. It's the Last Call Tour with Jake. Follow him on social media and you'll see all the updates and ticket links and all of it. And guys, today we're going to be having some fun because we're looking back to 1990 and the only time that the WWF, New Japan, and All Japan would produce a joint show. We're talking about the Wrestling Summit in 1990. And man, I cannot wait to watch this one back with you, Jake.
Oh, I'm glad you are.
I'm excited to hear about stuff with you in Japan in general. We've got all kinds of questions. We're going to do a couple of those real quick, and then we're actually going to get set up with the video itself. All right, Jake, let's get into the notes before we watch the video. I've got here 127.90. Vince McMahon appeared at an All Japan Pro Wrestling card at Tokyo's Korakuen Hall. We probably said that very wrong, and shook hands with Giant Baba in the ring. Moments later, McMahon announced the April 13th show at the Tokyo Dome would be a combined show featuring talent from All Japan, the WWF, and New Japan. So, Jake, do you remember the first time you would have heard about this whole concept?
I heard about it, man. I'm like, oh, shit, we got to go to Japan. So, come on, Vince, how far can we go? We're going to be doing stuff that's on the moon next, I guess.
Whew, man, that is a hell of a trip. How long is the flight to Japan?
It's like 12 hours.
Ugh, brutal. Now,
only there for 2 days.
Oh, God. Awful.
12-hour trip back.
You're spinning around and going 12 hours back the other way.
Right back to work.
Now, Jake, I know that you had toured Japan earlier in your career. The research here has it that you would have been there several times between 79 and 80. Is that true?
Yeah.
What can you tell us about your earlier experiences in Japan?
Well, very early in my career when I didn't know a whole lot, I kind of felt like I was being put in jail and getting let out once a night to get the shit beat out of me. Because that's about what it was. But then as time went on, it got better. It couldn't have got any worse. You know, it really couldn't have. Because they took their liberties with me, boy. Ooh.
Really? So oh, it's...
God, yeah, man. You know, when you're 6'5", they don't like you automatically because you're fucking big.
God, that's brutal. So it's you're bigger than these guys, but a lot of them were coming at you stiff.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now...
The thing I had to learn was give it back.
You know? That's what I was going to ask. You were still pretty young at this point in your career. Did you know right away to give it back, or did you?
The first trip, I didn't give it back, and goddamn, they fucking killed me. I mean, it was really tough. Then my second tour was really sucked because I was like king of the cage match.
Really?
A cage match every fucking night. My head looked like sausage. From blade jobs, you know.
God almighty, brutal.
It was crazy, man. My head was so sore. Oh my God. So lucky I didn't get infected, because I mean my whole forehead up here was just sliced and diced.
I think that brings up an interesting point, Jake. It's, you know, I've seen the scars that you've got from blading. The first time you had to get color, I know that a lot of guys let somebody do it for them. Did you? No, not me. Oh, no, you did it yourself?
I was excited to do it.
Really?
For some reason. For some strange, sick reason, I wanted to do it. I want to cut myself. Give me a girly magazine. Oh yeah.
I always hear people say that it's like your baptism in wrestling. The first time you get color, did you feel that way?
Oh,
no.
It was exciting though. I kind of got over it pretty quick.
This first tour, do you remember who you would have been working with in all these cage matches?
Yeah, Kazatsu, or Kimura, or Hamaguchi, or the Mighty Inoue.
Wow. So, I mean, you were running through a lot of guys, and it was all cage matches with those guys. How long would you have been in Japan during these earlier tours?
Oh, man, the first tour I went was for 8 weeks.
That is a very long time to be in Japan.
Oh, God. I remember I flew back and I kissed the ground when I got back. And it was really bad, man, on the way back. I was traveling with, what's this guy's name? Leo Burke.
Okay.
From the Calgary area and from Eastern Canada. And as we approached the airport, I'm like, man, this isn't right. This doesn't look right. Because I'd flown into Seattle before.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't look like Seattle. And all of a sudden, he takes the plane back up because we fly right over the tower, man. The tower is like 100 feet below us.
Oh, man.
Holy shit. We almost hit the fucking tower. And the pilot comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, we just flew over the tower. If you happen to be looking out the left side, yes, we knew what we were doing. We just had to fly over the tower to confirm some problems with our landing gear.
Oh, God.
You know, what the fuck are you talking about? And the deal was that on takeoff, and I remember the takeoff when it happened, I thought we were running over speed bumps.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't. The tires were blowing out.
Oh, no.
We had four tires on one side blow out.
Holy shit.
So now they took us way back out over the ocean, about 300 feet off the ground, and we dumped our fuel. And we were flying into Vancouver because there was a longer runway there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem was not landing it. The problem was stopping it.
Right.
Because they couldn't apply any brakes. If they applied the brakes, the plane would swing sideways, and then we would roll it.
Holy shit, man.
So, man, I don't know how they kept that son of a bitch in the air, because it didn't seem like we were moving. You know, and it was a horrible fucking feeling, man, when you look out the window and you see like 50 fire trucks and you see like hundreds of cameras set up.
Oh, my God.
And another 100 ambulances ready to go.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, motherfucker. So that's when I attacked the liquor cart. And the flight attendant said, sir, you need to set my down. I said, you need to suck my dick, bitch. We're about to fucking die. Yeah, she didn't much care for me. So I just scooped as much liquor as I could in both hands. I took them back over to where Leo Burke was, and we sat there and pumped them damn things and just guzzled them, man. Guzzled them.
Hell yeah.
Guzzled them. I must have guzzled 10 little bottles. I figure if I'm going to die, I'm going to try to be as numb as I can be.
Yeah, let's fucking hit oblivion before we land this thing.
We didn't have time, man, because we were coming in. And we came in and we hit. and we just went down the runway and we passed all that shit. And then we went right to the end of the runway and ran off the runway. But we got it stopped once we hit the mud.
Oh, dude, your heart's just got to be pounding out of your chest.
Yeah. They interviewed me whenever I came off the plane. They said, "Sir, can you tell us your experience on the landing?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "It was pretty tough, but it wasn't as tough as wrestling Gene Kaniski for 60 minutes.
I'm going to guess that these interviewers had no idea you were a wrestler either, so they're probably like,
"No, they didn't." They knew who Gene Kaniski was, though.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a god up there at the time. And I had just left that territory to go to Japan. And I was their big star there. I'd been wrestling Kaniski. So for the wrestling fans, they got it.
Okay, so they probably did know you then. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man.
Fuck, though.
Getting sick whenever I got off the airplane, man. I puked my guts out. There were a lot of people puking, though, so it wasn't a big deal.
Got to be a combination of nerves and hammering some of those little bottles.
Yeah, I think it was the nerves. The liquor was good.
My God, terrifying. Next question I do have, though, is this is 12 days after WrestleMania 6 in Toronto, and all of a sudden you're spinning it around and going over to Japan. I know that you had already had the neck surgery by this point, but this has got to take a toll on your body, right?
Oh, it does, man. Anytime you fly that trip. But, you know, it's just the fact that you don't have time to unwind and stretch out or anything. You know, you're getting right in the ring and going after it again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing against Boss Man, because Boss Man took pretty good care of me. But he's a little solid at times.
Right, big athletic dude, but man, I've heard that where every once in a while you'd have to remind him, like, "Hey, cool it,
lighten it up, dude."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steve Austin actually tells a hilarious story about I guess Boss Man hit him with a stiff punch and Steve let it go, got him again, and then Boss Man came in on a clothesline and Steve just fucking smashed him. And apparently Ray was like, "Okay," like he got it. He was like, "Yeah, okay. All right."
I understand. Yep. He didn't mind taking that, you know. I mean, if he hits you, he knew it.
Yeah, it's. I've heard that he's a great guy. I'm excited to talk about him more. Before we get there, I do want to ask, a long flight like this with some of these WWF guys, are you reading, sleeping, playing cards? What are you doing to pass the time?
I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. I tried to sleep.
Got to make it pass somehow.
You got to make sure there's somebody around you that's awake and that will tell you if somebody seems to do something to you.
Oh, those were the days when people would like cut off your ponytail or shave an eyebrow, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did any of that ever happen to you?
Nope.
You had somebody next to you ready to smarten you up.
Yep.
And you never did any of that stuff to anybody either, right?
Next question.
Oh man, you can hear the story at Jake's live shows.
I never did it to a wrestler.
You were doing it to a quote unquote civilian.
Yeah.
Oh my, Jake, can you tell the story, or is this a legal situation?
No, I think it's probably expired by now.
Good.
I shaved their eyebrows.
Really?
Yeah.
Man or woman?
Man. Well, there was one woman.
Oh, so this is not an isolated incident. This is something that's happened a couple times.
No, it was an isolated incident, and these guys were all college kids, and they kept fucking with me.
Mm.
And I was trying to sleep. It was like a 6-hour flight from Seattle to Miami, and they kept fucking with me. So somebody might have given them some sleeping pills.
Halcyon?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. But I just waited till they all gonked out. And I went by and shaved one eyebrow off each person. You know? But then somebody got the clippers and they went a little crazy.
Shaved heads?
There was one guy that had real long hair and they shaved all of it.
Oh, man.
He was in the toilet, passed out. So So when he woke up, all of his hair is in his crotch.
Oh my God.
The girl, they shaved half her head and wrote dick on her forehead. So anyway, then my clippers disappeared and wound up in one of their pockets. So we got fairly close to Atlanta and they turned the lights back on the plane. And of course it was, oh my God. And then these kids started waking up and screaming. Oh, they were furious, man. And we're like, whew, oh my God, who did that?
Who would do that to you?
Oh my God. But there was one kid that didn't have anything done to him.
Oh, so he got the heat.
The one that had the clippers. Can you imagine that? That bastard. He was supposed to be one of their friends.
Boy, oh boy, that piece of shit.
Oh, I wanted to kill him. But anyway, they had to emergency land the plane in Atlanta because they just wouldn't shut up. They were fucking screaming. They were throwing shit. Yeah.
Dude, that is amazing. Well, look, you know, these kids were fucking with you. You don't want to fuck with a wrestler.
I mean, there was about eight of us on the plane, and they just kept, come on, have a drink with me. Come on, have a drink with me. Don't be pussies. Come on. You tough wrestlers, y'all ain't shit. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm like, fuck. You know, and it just kept going and going, man.
I have to guess.
Marty Jannetty was on the plane, but I don't know what he did.
And so Jannetty was going to be one of my guesses. I was also going to say Kurt Hennig had to have been involved.
I believe so. I can't quite remember. A little fuzzy there.
Man, I don't know if we should remember. We can move on.
Yeah.
And actually, we're going to start the video here pretty soon, and I'll just keep reading questions as we go. I'm going to crank down the volume quite a ways because the announcers are Japanese, so we aren't going to be able to understand a lot of it anyways.
I understand Japanese.
How much do you understand of Japanese after spending time there?
Two or three things. That's about it.
Now, cold, I know.
Cold beer. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Where's the shitter?
No. Yeah, I do. I do know that one. Benjo.
Now, the first time that you were over there, are you getting time to sightsee, or is it just work, work, work?
Work, 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 work.
Every oh, man.
Day. No days off.
And two straight months when you're there the first time and you're just working.
Yeah.
Whew. I hope the money was good for all that.
It was more money than I had ever seen.
Whew, man, that's a lot. I'm excited to watch this match. We can jump into it. And yeah, I'll ask a few questions as we go. And I'm excited to watch this, man. Your first time in the Tokyo Dome. Let's go ahead and tune it up.
This next contest is scheduled for one ball with a 20-minute time limit.
ボスマンとはアメリカ州刑務所の監視のことを言います。ビッグボスマン、暴力監視。2メーター3センチ、170キロの巨体が筋力を
Sorry, I had to mute it. I wasn't hearing you. What was it, Jake?
How in the fuck did they come up with the name Egg Dome?
I guess it looks like a giant egg. I think it's just like a nickname, like calling MSG the whatever they call it, the Mecca or whatever.
Oh, it's, man, they had a write-in for to have it, what to name it.
Oh, really?
They named it the Egg Dome. Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's, I mean, iconic place, really iconic arena.
Yeah.
All right, we'll track your entrance.
アメリカ WWF のプロレスをそのままに直輸入 WWF 同士の一戦となりました。
from Stone Mountain, Georgia, weighing 248 pounds, Jake the Snake Roberts.
お土産持参のプロレスラー、ジェイク・ザ・スネーク・ロバーツ。
I didn't notice that the first time I watched this match, but you just stepped over the top rope. Were these ropes shorter?
Not much. I used to do that a lot.
I don't recall ever having seen you do it. So as soon as I saw that just now, I was like, wait a minute.
It's quite the sphincter rub.
I was going to say, that's really got to dig in.
Oh, it does.
Well, Jake, some other notes from this event. Hogan was originally announced to be defending the WWF title versus Terry Gordy, and Gordy supposedly was afraid to do a clean loss against someone who is not a champion. He thought maybe it might negatively affect his status in Japan and bowed out of the match. I found that to be pretty interesting, because I know that you have always felt like wins and losses don't really matter as long as your character is over. But I've heard other guys from your generation talk about how losing on TV or at a huge event can hurt their character. Why do you think some guys that came up with you don't feel the same way that you do about it?
They're insecure. They're insecure in their own character, man.
Interesting. I've heard so many guys, even from, you know, WWF guys from the golden age when you were there, say like, yeah, no, I can't lose on TV. It's like, really? Why?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely shit.
Pretty bizarre stuff. So we see here that you're working with the Big Boss Man. And as you noted, this is the first and only time that you worked with him.
Yep.
What do you think about Ray's work overall?
Very good.
Polished. And as we've mentioned, just a really big dude who could move, had made a great reputation for himself in JCP, but yeah, every once in a while, maybe a little stiff.
Yeah. Raw boned. That's what I call it.
That's the perfect way to put it.
Corn fed.
He was too. Another Rome, Georgia boy, much like a friend of the show, Arn. And man, just a cool athlete. Another guy gone too soon. But I did want to ask, you know, he's in this era of wrestling where the gimmicks start to reflect jobs and whatnot. And obviously, he's a prison guard. Did you think that his, you know, main eventing with Hogan as a heel was about as far as he could take that character? Or do you think some meat was left on the bone?
There's some meat left on the bone.
Yeah. It's a WWF champion potential?
No. No, not with that character.
Well, certainly I think that he could have had a longer stay in the main event as a big nasty heel.
Yeah, he could have.
Well, I mentioned that Gordy's going to bow out, but Stan Hansen is going to replace him a few days before the show and lose to Hogan in the main event. Jake, have you spent much time around Hansen?
Oh, yeah.
What can you tell us about him?
Oh, love him to death. Love him to death. Very scary.
He's another one of those guys. You say raw bone, nasty, tough as nails. Like, yeah. Man, that is... My God, as tough as they come. Have you worked with him?
Oh, yeah.
What was it like being in the ring with him?
Scary. Fucking scary. I mean, you know, you got to remember, this guy can't see.
Right.
So when he throws you off to come for that lariat, you'll see him, like, turning his head from side to side, trying to catch a glimpse of you.
Oh, my God.
He just fucking rips it.
I've heard people say, like, sometimes that clothesline of his will hit you in the chest, sometimes in the stomach, sometimes he'll tear your head off with it.
Yep, I've been in a couple of those. I've had the head torn off, and I've had the chest.
Man, just a badass dude.
Absolutely.
Now, when I know that he primarily for his career, or has certainly spent much of his career in Japan, would you have worked with him during your early days?
Yeah, it was my early days in Louisiana.
Badass dude. It'd be cool if we could uncover some of those old matches.
Oh, God. I might be scared to even watch them.
This is gonna give you a concussion just watching him tear your head off with those.
It could happen.
We've got this from the Observer. Jake Roberts pinned Big Boss Man in 10:25 when he got behind Boss Man's vertical suplex attempt and hit the DDT. Boss Man played a total heel. That's pretty interesting because, according to the research here, it was about 2 months earlier, Boss Man had turned babyface in the WWF, and now he's a heel here in Japan. Why do you think you were positioned with Boss Man instead of, as I mentioned, just days earlier, you had wrestled DiBiase at WrestleMania? Why not just put you two in the ring together?
I have no idea.
I'm kind of glad it happened, you know, because, again, this is it. If you want to see Jake the Snake wrestle the Big Boss Man, you're not going to find it anywhere else. This is the only time.
That's true.
Some other people on this card, it's pretty jam-packed with talent. Justin Liger, Masa Saito, Kenta Kobashi, Tenryu, Great Kabuki, Giant Baba, many others. Did you spend much time around the Japanese talent at this time?
Not this trip.
As you mentioned, it was just kind of a quick in and out, so not a ton of time to hobnob with them. Were you sharing a locker room with the guys from the other federations?
Yeah.
Language barrier, I would imagine, has to be something of an issue when it comes to this stuff.
It certainly is.
It's, you know, it just probably down to respectful nods a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's also notable that a young Shane McMahon is acting as a referee for a few matches. Did Shane ever ref a match for you?
Nope.
Did you spend much time around Shane at all?
Nope.
Never really whatsoever, even when, as he was like a teenager, when you were kind of on top.
No.
Interesting. And interesting to see what he's gone on to be in pro wrestling.
Yeah, certainly is. Guy with the quad that's fucked up.
Yeah. Did you see that moment in WrestleMania?
No.
Insane. He did that leapfrog, tore his quad, and thankfully Snoop Dogg was there to kind of pick up the pieces, kind of like an old veteran. He came in and punched the Miz and finished it himself.
That's awesome.
Pretty interesting. Snoop Dogg, have you ever been around him at all, Jake?
Yeah, we smoked a little bit.
Oh, we really?
Oh, yeah.
That has got to be a wild experience.
Sure it is. Yeah, when he was at AEW, we hung out a little bit.
Oh, nice, man. Man, what a legend in rap he was. I mean, are you guys, like, chilling at his hotel room, or where are you at?
He had a trailer.
Oh, nice. We're looking at the Boss Man here. He's got, you know, rear chin lock. What would have been the earliest that you'd been around him, WWE or prior?
WWE.
Man, such a irreplaceable look. Talented dude. Cool when he came back to the WWF in the late 90s, and they kind of updated his character almost like a SWAT team type guy. God, just a mountain of potential in this guy.
Yep.
Well, we've got... Oh, go ahead.
He can move, man. He can move.
We've got a little bit more from the Observer here, and he talks a lot about the difference in American fans versus Japanese fans. I'd like your take on this. He says the match was a total American heel versus face style, and pointed out too clearly the cultural differences in both the wrestling and the wrestling fans from the two countries. It should be pointed out that at least 5,000 fans were Americans, mainly servicemen stationed abroad. Most were sitting at the ringside seats and apparently were comped, since one doubts servicemen could afford tickets that expensive. The belief is that they were comped to make sure that there would be an American reaction to some of the spots and wrestlers who might not get over in Japan. So I wanted to kind of sift through some of the fact and fiction of that statement. Just my personal thought, but in my mind, it feels like all the WWF guys would have been totally over at this point. As I mentioned, you know, you guys have become part of pop culture in pro wrestling by now.
Japanese fans react differently.
Yes, that's what I wanted to ask you about was, you know, it's been said over and over again that they're very, very quiet out of respect.
Yeah.
How does that impact you as a wrestler?
Well, you just get used to it, man. You have to go with it.
Now, will it change anything about your approach in the ring?
Nope.
Do everything the same way?
Yep, I did.
The first time that you were in Japan and you're getting this alternate crowd reaction, did you feel like you'd done something wrong, or did somebody smarten you up ahead of time?
Oh, I knew what it was going to be like.
I will say, and we're going to track near the end of this, when you hit the DDT and then pull out the snake, there's a very big reaction. And I know that Meltzer's trying to point out that it's a lot of Americans at ringside. You can see a lot of Japanese folks at ringside, and they pop. Here we go.
Oh, DDT! DDT! DDT no mesh! Jay Crobats! 1発目 no DDT! さあ、 そこ から カウント が入る! 取りましたよ! カウント3! DDT でこのボーレフ監修ビッグボスマンビンホール奪いました。さあダミアンが出てきますよ。さあ物言わぬセコンド、これです、この中でうごめくぶったいエックス、その名は2メーターを超すダイジャン、ダミアンであります。シェイクザスネーク。さあ勝ち名乗りを受けましたシェイクロバーツ。としますと、としますと、あは、やはりプロに手をかけた。はいはい。 皆さん、テレビの前の皆さん、生理的に受け付けない方は、ぜひとも目をつむって見てください。あは、出ました。ヘビです。ヘビです。大蛇です。まさにヘビー級のヘビー。これ見逃し。うわ、これは。
That was it. Nice reaction there at the end from this crowd that's traditionally pretty quiet.
Yeah, they got with it finally.
It's awesome, man. Cool to see you in that setting. It's, you know, it's weird to see WWF guys on a Japanese arena like that. Really just unique. And again, it was never done again, a collaboration between the three federations. So just such a cool, unique moment there at the Wrestling Summit in 1990. The Tokyo Dome, Jake, how did it compare to the other venues that you've been in, some massive ones? How did it compare?
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't.
In what way? Like, better?
Fan reaction. Mm. The building itself is just not as big as some of ours.
Overall, when it comes to being in Japan, don't prefer it?
Oh, God, no.
Well, I'm glad that you went. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners and fans, viewers are too, because cool to see that. Cool to see you wrestle the Boss Man. A few things that only happened once there. That combination show and you wrestling the Boss Man. So awesome. Great to get to watch it back with you all these years later. And great to be bringing some fun bonus content to folks here at adfreeshows.com. This was our April bonus. We're going to be back next month with another one. And man, it's been a real blast getting to do this with you, Jake.
Always.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll catch you next time right here on The Snake Pit.
All right.